Blog Talk Radio.
James had trouble seeing. He thought he was tired. His leg went numb. He lost his balance and couldn't talk. He couldn't call for help. James had a stroke. If anyone had recognized the signs and called 911, his life might be different. Remember these warning signs: sudden numbness or weakness in the face, arm, or leg, trouble seeing, sudden confusion or inability to speak. If you suspect a stroke, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. And I'm on Instagram now. Lots of cool pictures. Tag me. You might win a prize. On Instagram, I'm Saturdays with Joy Keyes. Thank you so much for all your support this past year and also the past 5 years that I've been doing the show. Right now, we're past 830,000 downloads of the podcast. Wow, just amazing to me that you guys want to listen to my crazy voice and then whoever I have on their voice. I hope you enjoy them and learn something and pass them on, and I hope that they have triggered some thoughts and moved you ahead in your life. Today, again, one of my favorite guests to have on the show, he helps me wrap up the last couple years, astrologer Samuel L. Reynolds. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you for coming on the show again this year, as of past years.
Thank you for having me.
You are really multifaceted, and I want to, for people who don't know who you are, people sometimes look at astrology, they're really obsessed with it, or they're like, oh, that's for crap. But you are actually certified. Could you explain your certification to people and where you are? I'm not sure if you've gone further since the last time we spoke.
No, but I am in the certification process for NCGR, which is a National Council for Geocosmic Research. There are four levels. I've done the three levels. You can do the fourth level. But all of it's optional in terms of the certification process. But I started off in the certification process mainly because, you know, one of the problems that can happen when you kind of learn astrology on your own is that you don't know what you don't know. And so the certification process, whether you do it through NCGR or an organization on which I sit on the board, ESAR, the International Society for Astrological Research, they have a certification program as well. But whether you do it through them or another program, it's kind of realizing, or my own program, the Astrology Career Institute, it's realizing that you basically can have a structure for learning astrology in a systematic and clear way. So you know what you know, and you also get to know what you don't know.
Now, how long does it take you to get certified to the level you are now? Is it like a year, two years?
Yeah, you could do it as fast or as slow as you want. And I did my certification over 3 years, and my last one was like in 2005. And so I started off in 2003, did it in 2004, and then 2005. But I could have done it in a shorter time period. I just have always been more focused on the business aspect of doing work as an astrologer. And the learning doesn't take a backseat. The certification certainly did each year until I got to level three, which is kind of the key level of competence.
Now, what does zodiac mean? Is there a meaning to that word, zodiac?
Yes, it means the dial of life or the wheel of animals. You could take your pick because it comes from the root word, you know, where we have zoo, which also relates to life itself. Which if anyone who is out there named Zoe, they know that their name means life, and that's kind of a Greek word. And so zodiac relates to, like, the wheel or circle of life, literally. So when we talk about the zodiac, to kind of answer your question more succinctly, we're talking about an imaginary band that's about 8 degrees above the imaginary circling of the sun around the earth, 8 degrees above and below, and we look at those constellations as reflective of a band or circle of life.
Now, when we read the Zodiac in the magazine, in the local newspaper.
Or Ebony.com.
Is that, or Ebony.com, where you
mm-hmm.
are,
right.
a contributor, what's the difference? I mean, as opposed to getting a reading, and can you explain to the audience getting a reading means? What does that
yes.
mean? You know?
So when you're reading a horoscope, you're reading a generalized, mostly creative and intuitive breakdown of each of the signs, which may apply to your sun sign, your moon sign, or your rising sign. And each of those are different depending on when and what time you were born. So most people think, oh, well, I'm born during the sign of Pisces, which means that the sun was going through the sign of Pisces when you were born, for instance, like you.
Okay.
However,
yes.
right. However, the thing to kind of know is that depending on the day, the moon could be in a different sign, and depending on the hour, it also could be a different rising sign. So the rising sign is determined more by the hour, or literally the time of birth. Now, in a reading, an astrologer talks with you about what those three things mean and how they impact or talk about your life purpose. Then he or she can also start talking about how your life unfolds and can give a forecast based on that unfolding, based on your natal chart, for what's happening over a certain period of time, whether that's going to be the next 6 months, the next several years. And some of it could be very specific, and some of it could be a little more general depending on the time frame. So a reading really is a consultation where an astrologer sits and explains to you the meanings, the significance, and the overall possible forecasts of your chart, your birth chart.
And just tell the audience, he did a reading for me. It was like 15 pages. I mean, extremely detailed information. So it's very different than, you know, reading your horoscope in the back of
right.
the paper.
And I want to make even a qualification. I want to make a qualification with
yeah.
that. I actually did a report for you, which is different than a reading.
Okay.
A report
okay.
actually can be automated, as it was in your case, where
mm-hmm.
you actually have information that has been written by an astrologer, and then a programmer works with the ideas and writings of an astrologer to kind of factor in the information that someone may put in, like their actual birth time, birth date, and birthplace. And by virtue
okay.
of what the writer, the astrologer writer, puts together, they can assemble, by just the program itself, a way of understanding your particular chart. Where a reading is a little more detailed and opens more possibilities because it can provide much more for the intuition, and then you can ask questions. When you have a report, it's kind of a finished document. But during the course of a session with a live astrologer, you can ask questions and get clarification when things are not clear.
See, I just learned something myself today.
There you go.
The difference between the report and the reading. See, always something to learn. Well, I also want to mention that you did not start out your life in astrology.
No.
You are very much an intelligentsia elite, and you just know so much about so many things. I really bow down to you with the level of knowledge you have. But you have a master's. Only have a master's in.
Okay, yeah, and thank you. I think those are very kind words. I don't know if I was part of some elite or whatever. You know, makes me sound like I'm part of the Illuminati or something. No, I was just a grad student.
You're not with Jay-Z and Illuminati?
No.
Okay, okay.
And if I were, I couldn't tell you anyway, right?
Exactly.
but I was a grad student in African American Studies where I got my master's, and I was in the first year of my PhD program. And at Temple University. And I got into astrology on a lark. I went to see an astrologer in North Philly. I was looking for a book. He had a bookstore. And I was looking for a book. And then he started talking to me about astrology. I had a friend who was very much into astrology. She was convinced I was a Scorpio. I thought I was a Sagittarius. The astrologers were like, well, I can find out for you which one you are. And so I sat in this chair, and my life changed, to put it succinctly. And so shortly thereafter, I actually was a little furious with the reading because there were some things he was able to scry and understand from my chart that I couldn't figure out how he would possibly know those things. So I thought it was some kind of trick. So I set off for the next 10 years, true to form as a Scorpio, attempting to unravel his trick. And I came to realize that the trick was that I ended up with an astrologer myself, as he predicted.
Amazing.
So.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you are doing – go ahead.
No, I was saying that is an amazing thing that, you know, he was so lucid. And I think, you know, a lot of people are concerned about whether astrology is something divine or devilish. And I definitely think it's something more of the divine and in alignment with the divine, because what I think happens more often is that, you know, God speaks to us through signs, and not just the signs in the heavens, but all kinds of signs. And what's really interesting about that reading with that astrologer, the first reading, is that I went to him a couple other times after that, and he was good, but it wasn't the same incisiveness. And that first time where he kind of got more into my family dynamics was just the thing, I think, that shook me up, that needed to shake me up. If he had said any other permutation of things or even been specific in other ways, I don't think he would have reached me. So I think that was a moment of divine intervention.
Yes, I mean, that's a concern. But I also want to tell the audience that your background, you have, you know, a Christian background. And so it's not like you are not familiar, if you will, with, you know, the history of Christianity and its writings and things. So for you to say that it's that astrology is divine and we're looking for signs is another kind of interesting aspect to me about you. You know, that you have these different layers like an onion. You know, you're multifaceted.
I hope I don't stink.
No, you're multifaceted.
Yeah. thank you. And that you know, I do have a background as a former Christian Baptist minister, and I know there are some Christians who are listening who may be concerned, and, you know, listening to what some pastors and other people have said, that, again, that this is something of the devil, but I can assure you it's not. And I also like to recollect, especially during the season, that, you know, never forget the first people who sought out the quote-unquote Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, was looking for him through a star.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were not just looking at some random star. They had anticipated the star, and they had anticipated the rise of that star. And the only way they could have done that, these magi, was through astrology and the study of it.
Wow.
So you actually, you know, it is the stars that can direct you more toward your experience of the divine. If you look at it as, you know, your focus is on the divine. If your focus is just on the material world and kind of like, well, what's going to happen to me, and you think everything's about your fate rather than understanding that it's a dialogue between your fate and how you kind of carve it out with the divine to form your destiny, then that's what it's going to be for you.
Interesting. Very interesting. Fate, destiny, those are some interesting words. Well, that kind of brings me to today, a little somber note. Today is the anniversary of Sandy Hook, where unfortunately a gunman went into an elementary school and shot up some children and adults. The question being, many people saying, was that the fate? Was that the destiny of those kids? And usually those incidents, you don't hear about people shooting a kid. Like, people will do everything else, but they will not shoot a kid. So for someone to go into a school and shoot up children was really horrific for the country, anything for the world to see. But in other parts of the world, kids are getting shot up all the time. I hate to sound, I don't know, people not ready to hear that, but they are. And also in neighborhoods in America, kids are being shot. Maybe not en masse, but every week. and nobody seems to blink an eye. Talk to me about that incident in relation to the young man who did it. Are you familiar with him and maybe his chart? His name is Adam Lanza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adam Lanza. Sure, yeah. There's many different dimensions to talk about with, you know, Adam Lanza and that particular event. But one thing I do want to mention first off is that, you know, I've been talking about this via my site, Return Numeral 2 thesource.com. It's all one thing, returntothesource.com, for a number of years. And I've been talking about it in a very particular way related to two planets that I want people to keep in mind, Uranus and Pluto. And those two planets seem to be active indicators of some measure of violence that continues to plague America related to gun control. And one thing that's significant is that it seems to be that whenever a Uranus or Pluto change directions, either going from being direct to retrograde and vice versa, there is some kind of major mishap with a gun, either related to a school or some public place. Now, I just kind of want to bring this to the audience's attention. Last year, just around the time that we had that shooting in Newtown, Uranus went direct on 12/12. Uranus is about to go direct again on 12/17. So I knew and still know, because there's still the possibility, that there could be an eruption related to violence around this time.
Well, what about the shooting in Colorado? The shooting in Colorado.
Yeah.
That happened,
yeah.
You know.
And it also happened with the other shooting with the Aurora, Colorado, in terms of the eruption. I knew that there would be a shooting around that time because it was just near a station between Pluto and Uranus.
Wow.
So these things can somewhat be anticipated, but here's the big question, that, you know, to answer the question that you asked about fate. So some things happen to individuals because larger forces are at work, and when I say the larger forces, I'm talking about our whole relationship, the U.S.'s relationship to guns itself. So we have to decide when is enough for what's happening with our children. The other thing to talk about with, you know, Adam Lanza, particularly, is that here's someone who probably needed a lot more intervention a lot sooner. And if you look at this young man's chart, you can see some of the troubles that would plague him, you know, per, you know, some of the placements in his chart. So, and he was also in a very difficult age, roughly, you know, 19 to 20, is frequently a difficult age in terms of being able to kind of understand the next level of how you fulfill some measure of your life purpose and how you form collections.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, in terms of, see, I'm a parent, we were just speaking about my daughter before we began.
Yeah.
When a child is born, is it a good idea to get a reading of that child? Do you think that will color in a positive or in a negative way how the parents raise them? And then the next question would be, in terms of mental health, can astrology aid in that and aid in the healing of
absolutely.
People? Okay, so go ahead.
Absolutely. I know for a fact that astrology is a wonderful and powerful tool for dealing with all aspects of mental health and wellness. And one of the ways it's most significant in doing that is that it can give a person a dossier or an actual setup or, you know, list of issues, both positive and negative, that they can be aware of and work on. So they can go to a therapist or whatever means of kind of process with, like, particular issues that they kind of want to work on and understand and talk through. So it's important for an individual to know those things. The other thing related to your question with children is I believe that the best thing to do in terms of a consultation is to get a reading for your child about a year or two, if not a little longer, but roughly at least a year after your child is born. Some people want a reading of their child as soon as the child is born. In some cultures, that's okay. The reason why I'm more of a fan of doing it some year or 2 years after the child is born is get to know your child and then also have enough fodder to be able to reference particular traits. Because otherwise, you're more going to – you may be looking out for issues that may not surface Or you can actually confirm some issues because you've seen them already during the course of that year. And you have enough things on your mind that you don't necessarily have to be kind of focused on just the personality issues. You can kind of just get to know your baby as is and give it the attention and all the other things and making the adjustment yourself. Hell, you need some sleep as well.
Yeah, first year, you're going to need some sleep.
Yeah, so I think, but, you know, it's usually after a year or maybe two, I think it's a good time to get a consultation to have, like, okay, what are some of the issues, challenges that your child may face? And definitely, you know, you look at Adam Lanza's chart, you know, with his moon in Capricorn and then the sun in Taurus and, you know, the placements that he has, you could see that there were some things that he needed some care and attention to that I don't think he got, especially
and
in relation to... In relation to some measure of the level of nurturing that he needed that he may not have gotten from his mom. Like, he was homeschooled, but I do wonder how much attention he got from her.
Because he killed her.
He did.
He killed her before he even went up
there. He killed anybody else.
I don't know if that was... What'd you say?
Yeah, before he killed anybody else, he started with her. He shot her at home and then, you know, went off.
That's a pretty powerful, you know, statement, to kill your mom. And then it wasn't like she was there with anybody else or so that something, yeah. But let's talk about in terms of the healing aspect for the rest of the community. What did you foresee last year for the community, and has it come to fruition? I mean, and focusing on that incident. And then we got to talk about the gun laws. I mean, what really has
changed? Talk about the what? I didn't hear you.
The gun laws in America, they haven't really, I don't know, come as far as I think they should come.
Well, this is kind of a fundamental issue that's kind of brewing in this country. This one of the reasons why Pluto is very significant in the star configurations in the heavens now and for the next decade or so is that America is experiencing what we describe as a Pluto return. What that means is that Pluto is coming back to the original position where it was at the founding of this country. And planets that come back.
Wow, that's
that
interesting.
Return.
Say that again. You said at the found. So it's, wow, that makes, okay. When you say that, that makes sense. But say one more time, that it's returning because it's where it was when the country was founded. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. That's what I said, yes.
Okay.
So this, yeah. It's returning to the place where this country was founded. It was founded when Pluto was in Capricorn, and now it's coming back home. And what that means for the country is it is a reckoning. Anytime a planet returns back to its original position, it is a reckoning. It is a time to kind of deal with the issues and dynamics of that planet. When we're talking about Pluto and Capricorn, we're talking about how one relates to the depths of power, since it's in one of the signs of power, and how we deal with hierarchy and how we deal with the evolution of obtaining more competence and power, which is Capricorn. So one of the things that happened was the overthrow of the king, because more people were concerned about, as we know the line so well, taxation without representation. So it became very important for people to feel like they had some sense of power and control and vested ability and competence with their government. So gun control is part of a fundamental issue in this country of former and still wilderness for those who feel and associate power with a gun. So many of the people who say, like, well, I'm not giving up my guns, because what they're actually also saying is that I'm not giving up my power. And
it's,
I think we
for
can.
People. It's
I'm
safety
sorry?
And security. And it's safety and security, and people are fearful of the other and the outside world coming in and taking over, not just physically, eminent domain type of issues, but also mentally, propaganda and social media and the radio and TV. So people are fearful of. They're in a state of fear.
Well, I agree with you. I think this genus of fear actually has, you know, even a lot more specificity to it there is also a level of fear and suspicion of the government itself. A lot
right.
of the same
yes.
people
yes.
who espouse and this attentiveness to having guns and gun control are the same people who have an inherent suspicion of government, especially with a black president.
Oh, yes. We know he's had more, you know, threats than any other president
in history.
To get him killed in history,
right.
yes.
So I think this is a critical issue.
People, so you can calm down.
Right. This is a critical issue to contend with as we talk about, you know, the United States. So this is the thing that one has to usurp and uproot, but at the same time, you can't do that violently. And you can't do that forcefully. There has to be, common sense to kind of use from the last revolution evinced and evoked so that more people feel like the right thing to do is have a proportion in terms of gun control. We don't need to have all these automatic weapons to be so rampantly available. It's one thing to have, like, a pistol. It's another thing to have something that can shoot 18 rounds per minute or more.
Well, you know, some banks, what was the filmmaker? He did the movie, and they went into the bank, I think it was in Colorado, and they were able to get, if they opened a certain level CD, they got a shotgun.
Right.
That was
mm-hmm.
their, you know, prize, if you will, for opening or compensation for opening a certain level, a CD, a bank account type of thing. So, and people will say, I'm going hunting. I'm not, you know, but see, my concern is I live in an urban area, and people are hunting other humans. They're not hunting deer.
Right,
you
right.
know.
And that's the
so,
issue. The issue is, again, remember, I said this is a country of former and still wilderness. So there's a wildness to it, and these are people who are saying we resist being tamed. But they don't. They look at the taming as, you know, all levels of guns, rather than just
yeah.
the guns that are consistently killing people, which are not 22 caliber guns, which are not, you know, some of these other lesser caliber weapons. They're these highly, you know, militaristic models of guns, which is, I'm sure, the same
right.
thing. Even though I don't know the actual gun that this man used, this young boy used, who again is 19 or 18. Again, that sensitive age I mentioned, the shooter in Arapaho in Colorado, Arapaho High School, you know, it's a similar issue. I don't know what weapon he used, but I'm sure it was something semi-automatic or could fire off multiple rounds.
Well, we're getting close to running out of time, but I want to keep talking
oh,
to you.
No.
Let's talk about something fun. Let's talk about something fun real quick. Let's talk about Beyonce.
Okay,
I mean, you know, wow, she has a new album. People are, like,
mm-hmm.
praising her. You know, people are making jokes about other artists being scared. Or, you know, her and Jay-Z taking over the world. They have a baby. What sign is Beyonce, and what do you see in the future for her and her career and her life?
She's a Virgo with a moon in Scorpio. At least that's what we believe from the data we have for her. We don't know her
okay.
time yet. Some people speculate that she is a Leo rising. And I think what we can expect for her is, you know, her stock to continue rising. I think she's maturing. Even though I've downloaded the actual album, I haven't listened to it or looked at it because there's a lot of videos, but I've been reading about the, you know, some of the things she's been touching on. She's getting much more, intellectual in terms of approaching her own power and sense of feminism. Of course, there's
mm-hmm.
always going to be some measure of dissonance that may happen hither and thither with any particular artist and their intellectual integrity that happens that she's kind of formulating, but she's coming more into her own. And one of the things that was impressive for me is not that she was able to drop it in terms of silence, but astrologically, you know, there was a big solar eclipse that happened at early November in Scorpio. So I think that activated her moon that came to pass roughly within the last month. So even though this may have been in the works for a couple of months or more, I think she was in tune either consciously or unconsciously with her chart to realize that this is some time to also make a statement to the world. That wasn't just an album. That was a statement to people.
Okay. And how about her relationship with Jay-Z? Because a lot of famous stars don't stay together, divorce in a couple years. Do you see them staying together, and is it a business situation, or is it really a love connection, so to speak?
Well, like I said, we don't have her chart. So, you know, to be able to look how – I think we have his information. But, you know, there's a lot between them. I think his moon is also in Virgo, which, you know, if his moon is in Virgo, that does connect with her sun. So I think that is something that testifies to them having a real connection. It's not just a, quote-unquote, marriage of convenience or just to kind of consolidate power to take over the world. I think there is an actual full-throated, full-bodied connection between them in terms of who they are. In terms of whether they stay together, I think they're smart. I think one of the things that they kind of keep clear about is, you know, they keep some measure of privacy. And,
definitely,
yeah. And they also are at the top of their game in related spheres, but also different spheres. So there isn't the same level of competitiveness, and they have been able to find a model to be able to both be home together, from what we can see, and also to have some time apart and creative space and take care of their baby. So I think they're doing it. And I think I have, you know, as much information as I have per their charts and what I can see and what we do see, that there's a lot that testifies to them being together. And just to correct myself, it looks like Jay-Z is a Sagittarius with an ascendant in Virgo, and his moon is in Libra. So that's the thing that kind of helps forge the connection, keep the connection.
Let's talk about you real quick. Let's talk about your Zodiac Lounge. You started that again, yes?
Well, no. Since April, but it is coming back. We're looking at the beginning of the new year in 2014. Either it looks like it's going to be February or March, and what's happening, for those who are fans of the Zodiac Lounge and know about it, is that we're partnering up with particularly an organization, a corporation, who also has an international base. And so we're looking to kind of not only branch out but have some support with them and do some partnering work with them to even offer classes and offer greater employment for people who work for the Zodiac Lounge. So if you are someone in the mind-body-spirit field, i.e. numerologist, Reiki practitioner, massage therapist, astrologer, tarot reader, psychic intuitive, I want to hear from you. And I'm looking for new people and people who want to work and also serve and make money. So we are going to be branching out where we'll even have an online presence and people can work from home and get consultations from home rather than coming out.
So tell us how to connect with you. You have returned.
So there's a couple
store.
Different ways to reach me. One way to reach me, the easiest way, is by email. And my email is Samuel F, as in Fred Reynolds, all one word, SamuelFReynolds@gmail.com. And you can also check me out on Twitter, SF, as in Fred Reynolds, all one word, SF Reynolds, on Twitter. And then if you would like to reach me by phone, it's 484-727-8277. And that number works for voice and text. Again, 484-727-8277. And last but not least, if you want to just look at me up in terms of the website, again, that's returntothesource.com. Returntothesource.com.
Real quick, next year, what are we seeing in America? What's happening? What should we look out for?
Well, particularly there's more of those kind of rumblings of change. And when I say rumblings of change, to be specific, there's still some great discontent between those who have and those who have not. And some measure of that reaches a critical point in mid-April, roughly around the third week of April. And there's also a couple eclipses during that time. So that seems to suggest that it's been a brewing point. And we've been looking at different permutations of that for a while, from Occupy Wall Street to what's happening now in terms of having a livable wage, but there's another wave of it coming. And it might even reach a different and fuller crescendo than what we've seen. I'm not saying it's going to be violent or revolutionary, but I'm also not taking that off the table. So there is some change, and people are going to be more concerned about those who have. Even though things are going well with the economy, there's still some challenges, and America has to rectify with that Pluto return and realize that it has to step up in terms of those who have and those who have not.
Well, a real quick example of that is the issue, I don't know if you remember seeing in this, the news about Walmart and the employees having a food drive for the other employees, but Walmart didn't give any food. Like, they were like, oh, that's great, our employees are supporting each other.
Right. No, yeah, it's rampant. You know,
like,
even
what?
McDonald's telling its employees that, you know, well, you know, if any gifts, you might think about returning them in order to get extra cash. Rather than thinking about how to give someone a livable wage, they're telling people, like, okay, turn in your gifts and get money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little sickening. Well, thank you so much, Samuel, for coming on today and sharing your knowledge. And
my pleasure. Thank you,
you know,
for having me.
I wish you much prosperity and in the coming year, and hopefully we will meet again next year, and hopefully we won't have too much bad news. Maybe it'll be a good revolution that'll happen in April.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
positive.
I think, you know, it's change. And when I say revolution, I don't want anyone to think
yes.
that it has to manifest as something violent or awful.
Right.
But it is recognizing that, you know, we're ripe for change.
Definitely. I like that. Ripe for change.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You have a wonderful weekend. Okay, Samuel?
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Just got off the phone with a famed astrologer, Samuel Reynolds, dropping all his wonderful knowledge about the past year and the upcoming year. Well, I want to mention to you, you can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Also, I'm on Instagram. Just look up Saturdays with Joy Keyes on Instagram. And you can email me if you have any questions or concerns, SaturdaysWithJoyKeyes@hotmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful holiday, and I will talk with you soon.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting. Uh-uh.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest, well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.